Today's shiur is Masechta Avodah Zarah, Daf Mem Dal. We will begin in Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis at the bottom of the Amud at the Mishnah. As we have been learning, one may not derive any hanor from Avodah Zarah. Not only may one not derive any hanor from Avodah Zarah, the halacha is that one has to dispose of the Avodah Zarah. And our Mishnah begins with a machlokes of Rabbi Yosef Aglili and the Chachamim, what is the proper manner of disposing of Avodah Zarah. The Rishonim debate if the machlokes that we're going to learn between Rabbi Yosef Aglili and the Rabbanon is an issue midraisa or it's only midrabbanon. Rabbi Yosef is of the opinion Shaychik v'zara l'ruach. What you do with Avodah Zarah is you could just grind it up and have it spread in the wind, or throw it into the sea. Tosfos discusses, according to Rabbi Yosi, that gives you the option of throwing the Avodah Zarah into the yam, does he require that it be first ground up before it be put into the yam, or even if it's not ground up, it could just be deposited whole into the yam? Amar Loi, the Chum disagree with Rabbi Yosi, and they say, Afhu Nasa Zevel. If you're just going to grind up the Avodah Zarah and throw it into the wind, it will become fertilizer, and it therefore could end up being used to fertilize and help grow produce, which, as we learned a moment ago, one is not allowed to have any hanah from Avodah Zarah. In order to avoid that problem, the only thing you can do is throw it in to the Yam HaMelech. Of course, the Rishonim point out, even according to the Chachamim, that say you have to throw into the Yam HaMelech, doesn't mean you specifically have to go to the Yam HaMelech. If you have Avodah Zarah and Chutz Loretz, the Torah doesn't require us, the Chachamim don't require us to go to Eretz Yisrael. It has to be disposed of in the same way as it would be if one were throwing it in to the Yam HaMelech. Because otherwise, Afhu Nasa Zevel, otherwise it's going to turn out that it's going to be used for fertilizer. And the Torah is very strict about the prohibition of having any hanah from Avodah Zarah. As the Torah says, Lo yidbak biyotcha mu'uma min acherim. You're not allowed to have any benefit. And as Tosfos explains, the machloikis of Rabbi Yosi and the Chachamim is as follows. Rabbi Yosi, there is a concept in halacha of Zevez HaGoyrim. What is the halacha when two combined different causes cause something to happen? And one of the causes is Heter, and one of the causes is Isser. Rabbi Yosi is of the opinion that Zevez HaGoyrim is Mutter. And therefore, even though you're going to have here Hanah from the ground up of Avodah Zarah, since it's not the only thing that's causing the vegetation to grow, it's going to be mutter. Whereas the Chachamim of the opinion, Zevez HaGoyrim is Asur, and therefore if they contribute in any way, the Avodah Zarah contributes in any way to the growth, it will be Asur. Certainly the Rishonim point out that even Rabbi Yosi agrees that one is not allowed to have any hanah from Avodah Zarah. The machlokes between Rabbi Yosi and the Chachamim is how far must we be concerned for this. But avada Rabbi Yosi will agree to go have benefit even from burnt Avodah Zarah is awesome. And in fact, I saw that the Paiskim used this concept to discuss an interesting question. The question that comes up is the cognac or brandy, which is made actually from burnt grapes. They cook up the grapes and you have the vapor of those grapes. Is their problem of stam yenom? And just like we're learning here, that even burnt Avodah Zarah, one may not have a gnaw from, so too, one should not have a gnaw even from burnt stam yenom, and therefore cognac and brandy should only be produced from kosher, under kosher, proper kosher supervision. Furthermore, the Rishonim ask, our Mishnah is teaching us that according to the Chachamim, Shoychik V'Zoyer L'Ruach is not acceptable. What will be the halacha by Pesach, however, when it comes to Chametz, even the Chachamim agree that Shoychik V'Zoyer L'Ruach is adequate. And therefore they ask, why is chametz on Pesach different than Avodah Zarah? So some Rishonim explain that actually it's the same Mandomer. The Mandomer Masechta Pesachim that says by chametz Shoychik V'Zarah L'Ruach is actually Rabbi Yossi of our Mishnah. Another explanation that I saw is that it's in the wording of the Torah. The Torah, when it speaks about chametz, speaks about lo yoichel, he may not eat chametz. But as our Mishnah says regarding Avodah Zarah, the Torah used much stricter language. The Torah says lo yidbak biyotcha mu'uma menacherim. There can't be anything left over, and that's why we treat Avodah Zarah more strictly. Another Torah is as follows. As we learned a moment ago, what is the concern with the fertilized, with the ground up Avodah Zarah? The concern is it's going to cause produce to grow, and that produce will be a derivative of Avodah Zarah, and just like Avodah Zarah is also bana, so too will be that produce. However, when it comes to chametz, even if there will be chametz that will come out as a derivative, it will be no worse than chametz shavol of a Pesach, and chametz shavol of a Pesach is only osum drabanan, and therefore we can be more lenient. Says the Gemara, Tanya. Amlam Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says to the Chachamim, a proof that Shaychik V'Zayra L'Ruach is adequate, the Pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu tells Klal Yisrael that after he discovered the eagle, V'eschataschem asher asisem es eagle, lokachti v'esref oisar be'esh. I took the eagle and I burnt it. So we clearly see that he just burnt it. I ground it until it was just into dust. And I threw it into the nachal. So as Tosfos explains, what's Rav Yossi proof? Because Rav Yossi is saying throwing the ground up eagle into a brook is the same as scattering it to the wind, because the current of the brook will expel the ground up eagle onto the bank of the river where it could possibly serve as fertilizer. The fact that Moshe Rabbeinu did so is clearly an indication that Moshe Rabbeinu was not concerned about having benefit from that Shaychik V'Zayrik L'Ruach is adequate. Others explain just the opposite, same concept, that it wasn't actually a large river, it was a small brook, and therefore since it was a small brook, the chances of having benefit from this ground up eagle increase, and yet we see that that's all that Moshe Rabbeinu did. Amrloi, so Chum respond to Rabbi Yossi Misham Raya. You're trying to bring a proof from that situation. Haru Omer v'yizer al pnei amayim v'yashus bnei Yisro lo niskavim elavotkin kasoitos, which means that Moshe Rabbeinu indeed ground up the Avodah Zarah, and then he took that Avodah Zarah and threw it into that brook, but his purpose was not to let it remain there. On the contrary, to take out that Avodah Zarah water, so to speak, and give it to drink to the people who were there. And as we learned many times, the concept of a Saita, a woman whose husband accuses her of having an adulterous relationship, but there isn't Dar to Edom, but the word Kini Vestira, that the halacha is that she's given the Mei Saita to test her innocence. Here too, it was given to them to drink. And as the Gemara Masechta Yuma actually quotes a machlokes of Rav and Levi, one man Dama says that whoever actually worshipped the Avodah Zarah, the eagle, was killed with a sword, because as the Rishonim explained, since the Dala Mises Bezdin weren't yet given, all Mises was just Besayif, somebody who hugged and kissed the Avodah Zarah was killed by Magefa, and somebody who was satisfied, was happy, was killed with Adroikim, that's sort of a stomach ailment. A different opinion says that where there were Edom and Asra, those people were killed b'sayif. Where the Edom without Asra, they were killed b'magefa. Where there no Edom and no Asra, they had hadroikin. At any rate, say the Rabbanan, that was a unique situation where Moshe Rabbeinu wanted them to be tested. HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Moshe Rabbeinu wanted them to be tested, and this was the method used for testing them. Amlam Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi brings another raya that Shaychik v'zoyr l'ruach is adequate. The pasuk says, "V'gam esmacha aim osa hamalach hisir megvira." King Asa deposed Macha, his grandmother, from being a queen. Asha also saw l'asher mefletzes. She had made a mefletzes for avodah zarah asherah. V'yadek v'yisroif benachal kidron. He just went and ground it up and put it by the Nachal Kidron, and that seems to be enough of a way of disposing of the Avodah Zarah. So we see again grinding it up, even it could perhaps end up being somewhat of a fertilizer, is permitted. Amrloi, Serech HaChamim in response to Rabbi Yossi, Misham Raya, you're trying to bring a Raya from that episode. Nachal Kidron Ein Megadol Tzmachim, that area doesn't grow anything, and therefore there is no concern that it will be used as a avodah zarah. V'loy, ask the Gemara, is that true that nothing grows there? V'tanan, but we learned in a Mishnah, in Masechta Yuma, Eilu v'eilu misarvim ba'oma, there were different karbonos were brought on the Mizbeach Achitzin, and we know that some of the blood had to be sprinkled on the corners of the Mizbeach. The rest of the blood went down to the base of the, it was poured down at the base of the Mizbeach. And they would be mis'arvin ba'oma, all the different bloods would get mixed into the channel. V'yoytzin l'nachal kidron, and they would go out to the Nachal Kidron. V'nimkarim l'ganinim l'zevel, and they would be sold for fertilizer. Or me'alim behem, and if somebody uses those fertilizers without paying, he's over me'ila. We know if somebody has benefit from avodah zarah without paying, without properly having the right, he's over me'ila. Of course, the Rishonim say that the me'ila here is not a full-fledged me'ila, which does a chiv karban asham, etc., but it is considered me'ila. So we see that things grew by the Nachal Kidron. Answers the Gemara, Mekaymus Mekaymus Yesh. The different areas along the Nachal Kidron. Yesh Mokam Megadol Tzmachim. There are places where things grow, and therefore there has to be concern for Me'ila, and that's what the Mishnah in Masechta Yuma refers to. Yesh Mokam She'ei Megadol Tzmachim, that it doesn't grow. And since it doesn't grow, there is no concern, and that's the fact when also ground up the Avodah Zarah. Taisa says the Gemara could have given a different tirutz. The Gemara could have said that the people would buy this fertilizer by Nachal Kidron and then take the fertilizer and plant and use it elsewhere. Taisa asks that here we seem to see that ground up metal could be used for fertilizer. Yet the halacha is that for Kisui Adam, we have to use earth that could cause something to grow, and the halacha is we can't use ground up metal, because ground up metal could cause something, won't cause everything to grow. So here we see that it can. So I saw Taisus has two terutzim. One terutz is it can't be used as a fertilizer alone, but if it's used in addition to other fertilizers, it is possible to be used. Another answer Taisus says is when it's burnt, not just when it's ground up, but when it's actually burnt, then it can be used as fertilizer, and that is the situation that we're referring to here. My meflatzta, so the pasuk called this avodah zarah meflatzta. What does meflatzta mean? Amar of Yehuda, dava mafla letzunosoi. It was extreme letzonis. Ketani Reb Yosef, kimin zachros asala. This macha made something like a zachrus, and she used it to have relations with every day. The pasuk says, we all recall the parasha in the Torah, where the Torah teaches us that the Klal Yisrael were being attacked by snakes in the Midbar, and in order to stop the snakes from killing them, to cure them, Moshe Rabbeinu made a nechash and nechoshes, made a copper snake, and whoever looked at that snake was cured. Over the years, the people turned that snake into avodah zarah. So Yechizkiah, as our Gemara will describe, wanting to eradicate avodah zarah, took that copper serpent, the kites nechasha nechoshes asha osa moisha. So we see that just grinding it is enough. Amrloi, misham raya, you want to bring a raya from that parasha. Hareu oimer, v'yoyim Hashem ha-moisha, asay l'cha sorof. L'cha mishalcha. It has to be your own. V'ein adam oisa dov v'shen ha-shaloi. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu made that nechash and nechashes. It belonged to Moshe Rabbeinu, and therefore the people who worshipped it weren't the owners of this nechash and nechashes, and therefore they didn't have the ability to make it into the avodah zarah. And therefore, says the Gemara, for Hassam, bedinu de chesusei lo havetzarach. Even grinding really wasn't necessary. El kivin de chazut katay Yisrael b'Israel. But when Chizkiyah saw that people were worshipping it, and to avoid that problem, Amar de Kittasoi, he went and ground it up. But it wasn't really an avodah zarah. In fact, the Mefarshim say, from here we see that something that doesn't belong to someone, doesn't have the ability to make it usur. And that's why the Ragachover explains that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Noach, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Noach to make the teva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, Aseilcha teva. Aseilcha mishalcha. It should be, Aseilcha teva, that's a gaif, it should be from your own. Why should be some from material that Noach owned? Because as we know, the people in those days used everything for avodah zarah, used klayim. But if they didn't own those materials, they didn't have the ability to make it into Osir, and that's why Noach, who didn't worship avodah zarah, didn't do any avera, was supposed to use his own material. Furthermore, based on our Gemara, we could understand why Yaakov Avinu told his children, when after the story of Shechem, that they should give him all of the avodah zarah that they got from the people of Shechem. V'yitnoi so Yaakov tachas ha'ol Hashem Shechem. Why did Yaakov Avinu require that they should be buried? The answer is that the avodah zarah became bottled by the people of Shechem. And since the people of Shechem were mevatel avodah zarah, the word no longer issue. Just Yaakov Avinu wanted his children to have no connection to the avodah zarah, that's why he said it should be buried. This concept of Eden Adam Oysa Davish Enishaloi, that a person doesn't have the ability to prohibit something that he himself doesn't own, say the Mefarshim, is very relevant in a number of areas of Halacha. One of the areas that I saw it's relevant in Halacha is regarding the question of a Bosses L'davar Asa. We know that something is Muksa. So one of the muksas is, if I take a muksa item, if I take money, for example, and I put it on a table, that table becomes a bosses davar asur, and it's muksa. But the halacha is that if somebody comes to my home and puts money on the table, it will not become a bosses davar asur. Why? Because the concept that we're learning in our Gemara, ein adam oisa davish ena shaloi, a person doesn't have the ability to make something that he doesn't own osir, and therefore you can't make my table into a bustle's davar osir. Of course, that doesn't mean that I have a right just to carry the money off the table, even though the table didn't become a bustle's osir. Rather, what it means is that after money is somehow removed in a permitted fashion, the table will have not have become a bustle's davar osir, because Ein adam oisa davish ena shaloi. Amalhem. So Biyosi tries to bring another proof that shaychik v'zoyru ruach is adequate in disposing of avodah zarah. The pasuk says, v'yaz v'sham as Betzbehem. David HaMelech went to war with the Pelishtim, and David HaMelech prevailed. And the pasuk says that they just left their avodah zarah. The Yisem David v'Anoshem, and David HaMelech carried them. Or my mashm the high Yisem Loshen is Ruyehu, and the Gemara assumes that at this point that Rabbi Yossi is saying that Yisem means that he just scattered them. How do we know that that's the definition? Says the Gemara, can a targum Rabbi Yosef? As Rabbi Yosef, who we know was an expert in targum, others say because Rabbi Yosef, we know many times throughout Shas, he's described as being blind, and a person who's blind was not allowed to learn Torah Shabbat. So since he's not allowed to learn Torah Shabbat, he became an expert in targum, which is Torah Shabbat Peh. Can a targum Rabbi Yosef? The pasuk says, Tizrach, Tizrin v'ruach t'soheng v'tagmim, Tizrin ruach v'tatalim, the wind, they'll be scattered, and the wind will carry them off. Amrloch, so isn't this a raya, that is an adequate way of disposing of avodah zarah? Amrloch, misham raya, so Chacham said, you're trying to bring a raya from that pasuk. Harei Omer, there is another pasuk describing that event, and the pasuk says the yisrafu be'esh, that they actually completely burnt avodah zarah. Umidalek siv, and the Chacham go on to say, since the pasuk says midalek siv yisrafim v'yisoim, since the pasuk doesn't say that they burnt it and scattered it, the pasuk only uses the word v'yisafim. Srami na v'yisem mamish. V'yisem doesn't mean that they scattered it; it means they actually burnt it. Ask the Gemara, become makom kasha kraya dadi. But we have a steer in the pasukim. One pasuk says that they carried it, which seems to mean that they had benefit from it. Another pasuk says that they burnt it. Answers the Gemara: the way to reconcile this contradiction is k'ravhuna. The Rav Huna Rami, k'siv v'yoyim adavi v'yisrafu v'esh, David HaMelech said they should just be burnt, v'k'siv v'yisoyim, they just carried it, seemingly having benefit from it. Loi kashan, how is this reconciled? Kan kodin shabab itay gitay, before itay agitay arrived, itay gitay was one of the Pelishtim who, after seeing the greatness of David, he defected and came to David HaMelech. And given that he was a goy, and as we learned, and we will learn, he has the ability to be mavatal avodah zarah. So before Itay Gitay came, they had to burn the avodah zarah. La'achas shebo Itay Gitay, after he came, he had the ability to be mavatal avodah zarah, and there was no need to burn it. Ask Tosfos, isn't the halacha that if a Jew burns the avodah zarah, then the halacha is that it can be that's mevutal. So why do they have to wait until Itay Hagitay arrived? Couldn't they just Jews have burnt it? So answer the mefarshim: since this was talking about avodah zarah made out of gold, it was made out of a metal, and avodah zarah made out of a metal that can be reconstructed, there a Jew's destroying it is inadequate. We have to have it destroyed or mevutal by a goy. Diksiv, as the pasuk says, v'yikach ateres milkom mi'al roishoy mishkol gikazov. David HaMelech took the crown of the avodah zarah, which weighed a kikazov, and put it on his head. Ask the Gemara u'mishari, how could David HaMelech benefit from this avodah zarah? Isura na'aninu, it's avodah zarah, and we'll be learning that you're not allowed to have any hanor from avodah zarah. Amar Rav Nachman, says Rav Nachman, as we just learned, itay gitay bo bitloy, itay gitay was mevatalit, and since he's mevatalit, it's not a problem anymore. Ask the Gemara, here the pasuk describes it as mishkola kikazov, which is 56 pounds. Ask the Gemara, Heichi Matza Manachlo, how could David HaMelech ever have worn such a heavy crown? Answers the Gemara, what pshat is Amar Rav Yehuda Merav, Ruya Lenuach Arosh David. David HaMelech could have worn it, not that he ever actually wore it, because it was actually heavy, but David HaMelech was a king who was worthy of wearing a crown. Very interesting word from the Kotzker. The Kotzker says, we know that Shaul HaMelech was the first king in Klal Yisrael, but he couldn't survive being king. It was only Dovid HaMelech who was able to be successful in being king. Says the Kotzker, why? We know that Shaul HaMelech was a pure Yachsin, whereas David came, had some blood of Ammon and Moav in him. In order to be a king, you have to have some gaiva, you have to have some of that gaiva in you. That gaiva doesn't have a place in the yichus of Klal Yisrael. Only Dovid HaMelech, who came from, had some of that Ammon and Moav yichus, could be a king. Read Yaisi Reb Chanina Amar Evin Shavas Haisaba, there was a magnet Davidorale, which elevated the crown. In other words, the way most Rishonim explain, there was a magnet on top of the throne of David HaMelech, and that magnet, and there was a magnet on top which would elevate the crown. Others say, I saw that David HaMelech had a magnet in his sharbet, in his stick, and that's how he would elevate the crown. Rabbi Lozheimer, the pshat in the pasuk is differently. Evin yikara ha'isaba. It's not that the actual crown weighed so heavy. It's impossible to have such a heavy crown. Rather, it had in it a very expensive diamond, sheshava, which was worth kikazov, the same amount as a kikazov, as 56 pounds of gold. The pasuk says in Tehillim that Dovid HaMelech says, Zois ha'isali kiful kudecho nitzarti. My comer, what is Dovid HaMelech saying? Hochkamer. Because I followed the mitzvah of Hashem, I have this crown as an edus that I belong to be king. My edusa, Amar Rabbi Yishu ben Levi, Shais Manicha v'makam tefillin, Dovid HaMelech had the crown in the place where the tefillin is worn, v'homosai and it fit. Ask the Gemara, v'boi nuchu tefillin, but Dovid HaMelech had to wear tefillin. How could he wear tefillin if the crown was in the spot where the tefillin are? Amar Meshumar v'yitzchuk, makam yesh b'roish, on the head there's a place, sharia l'nich b'ashnei tefillin, where two tefillin could be worn. And therefore what happened here was that he wore the crown, on the top of the crown he wore the tefillin, and the nace, what made Dovid HaMelech unique, was that a round crown could be kept on the spot on the forehead, and Dovid HaMelech, and it didn't fall down. Why? Because Dovid HaMelech was made to be king, and this crown fit him perfectly. Of course, the question that the Mefarshim asked is, why do we have to have the crown specifically put in the place where you have to wear tefillin? The point is to teach us that a king, even though he's the king, always has to remember that on top of his crown there's the tefillin, there's the king, there's the melech, malchei ha-melochim, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he, which is represented by the tefillin. The way we're learning our Gemara, and that's the way most Mefarshim explain, that their place for tefillin on the forehead doesn't mean in the width, but in the length. You could have one pair of tefillin on top of another pair of tefillin. However, there are other Mefarshim, the Divrei Chaim, who says that what the Gemara means is in the width of the head, there's place for two tefillin. And that's why the Divrei Chaim, the first tshuva, in the Shailas Tshuvas Divrei Chaim, points out that one doesn't have to look into a mirror when he puts on the tefillin out of concern that the tefillin shalroish are not in the right spot, because from our Gemara it's clear that there's plenty of room for the tefillin. Although I saw a very interesting story, the Briskerov would be careful to look into a mirror to make sure that the tefillin were in the right spot. And he was once in a place, and there were chassidim in that place, who were well aware of the tshuva of the Divrei Chaim, and they left the tshuva of the Divrei Chaim open, right in front of where the Briskerov was sitting, and he should see this tshuva. Briskerov saw the tshuva, and he commented as follows. He says, I'm going to bring a raya from the Divrei Chaim himself that what I'm doing is right. He says, the Gemara says, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that if somebody sits in the sukkah, on sukkahs when it's raining, nikra hejit. Yet the Divrei Chaim is well known, would sit in the sukkah even when it was raining. He would say, let me be called a hejit, but do what Hashem wants, but sit in the midst of a sukkah. Said the Brisker Rav, I feel the same way. I'll be a hedget, but let me put on the tefillin in the right spot. The pasuk says, "V'yitziu es ben hamelech v'yitnu lo es a nezer v'es a edus." The pasuk here speaks about Yoyish, who was a survivor of the Malchus Beis David, and they put on him as a nezer v'es a edus. Nezer zuklila. Nezer refers to the crown. Edus, Amr of Yehuda Merav. Edus hula Beis David. Shekala roi la malchus homosai. Whoever is worthy of the king, this crown would fit. Kosh en roi la malchus enem homosai. The Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin has a different way of explaining this fitting. The Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin explains that this crown had a stick across the inside of the crown, and it was only on the head of the family of David would have a curve, an indentation in the head to fit the crown. They were worthy of being Malchus Beis David. Anyone else is not worthy of being a king, is not worthy of being the king. David HaMelech had a son, Adoniyah, and Adoniyah wanted to be the king. Says the Gemara, the pasuk says, "V'Adoniyah ben Chagis misnasi lemer ani emloich." Amar Yudam Rav, "Shmisnasi lahamoi." He tempted to put on this crown, v'lohamosoi, and didn't fit. And that was a proof that he wasn't supposed to be king. Rather, as we know, Shlomo HaMelech was supposed to be the king. V'yaslo yrecho v'froshim v'chamishim ish rotzim l'fonav. Again, trying to be king, he made all the trappings of the Malucha, and he had 50 people running in front of him. Mayru v'sayu, asked him, what's so great about 50 people running in front of him? Tana kulam netulei t'chol, they had their spleen removed. A spleen makes a person feel sluggish, and they had the spleen removed so they should have energy. V'chikukei kapas harglaim hayu, and the soles of the feet were carved out, so therefore when they would run, they wouldn't feel anything in front on the road in front of them, and they could run as fast as they want without feeling any pain. Says the Mishnah, Sholu Perkolos ben Philosophus as Rabbi Gamliel ba'akoy. Perkolos ben Philosophus asked Rabbi Gamliel and Akoy. As the Gemara explains, he was a philosopher, an Oyved Avodah Zarah, and he asked Rabbi Gamliel, Sheyreichetz ben Marcha shel Avroitoti, that he used to wash, he used to bathe in the bathhouse of this Avodah Zarah of Aphrodite, which is an Avodah Zarah to the planet Venus. Amaloi, Prakolos asked Rav Gamliel, "Ksubet harotzchem lo yibak biyotchem umam menacherim." One is not allowed to have any hanor from Avodah Zarah, and therefore he asked, "Mebnei matu roichitz b'mechus shel Aphrodite." How are you washed? How are you taking a bath here? Mefarshim asked that the Pirkei de Rav Elazar says that one is not allowed to go into bath together with an akum. So how was Rabbi Gamliel together with him in the same bath? So some explain they were in the same bathhouse, but not in the same bath. Others explain that it's only if they're completely disrobed. Here they were wearing bathing suits, and therefore it's mutter. Another teretz is that it only because of an isser of, in a time where the Shach says, only in a time when we were makbid on tum and tahara was this concern of distancing ourselves from the bodies of the akum. Now that we don't have this issue, and therefore we could be more lenient. Amaloi, so Rabbi Gamliel said to him, "Emeshim merchitz." The first thing is that I'm not allowed to answer you in the bathhouse, which the Gemara will discuss. Kshiyatsa Amaloi, when he went out, he answered him. So Mefarshim asked, before we get into the shir, how could Rabbi Gamliel answered and explained a pidin why he is allowed to wash here? Isn't there a din that we're not allowed to, mishpatim bal yudom, that we're not allowed to teach Torah to Akum? So how is he allowed to teach him Torah here? So I saw a number of answers. One is that it was a situation of Darki Shalom, and therefore he was allowed to teach it to him. Another answer I saw was that if one is teaching Akum Torah in order that he should become a Talmud Chacham, or he should know the dinim of the Torah, it's Aser. Here he wasn't teaching him for that purpose. Rather, he was trying to daunt him, and therefore he was responding to him. Another answer, which the Tori Evan suggests, is that the reason one is not allowed to teach an Akum Torah is because it's Mirasha Kihilas Yaakov, it belongs to us, not to the Akum. But if we give on our own, Rabbi Gamliel on his own free will was teaching the Akum Torah, that's permissible. Of course, the question is, it doesn't belong to any one individual. So even if I don't mind teaching an Akum Torah, that doesn't have anything, that doesn't give me a heter, because I'm not the owner of the Torah itself. Another answer that the Mefarshim suggest is that the Akum is making an error, which was clearly the situation here. We can't correct him by teaching him why this is mutter. So the first answer he said to him was, I didn't come to this, the merchatz, this bathhouse was here before they put up the Avodah Zarah. Then he said to him, and the way Rashi explains is, people don't make the bathhouse as an noy for the Avodah Zarah. The Barati is made a noy for the Merchatz. So where, as I just explained, Rashi explains, he was giving another reason, that the bathhouse is not considered a noy for the Avodah Zarah, and therefore, since it's not a noy for the Avodah Zarah, one can have Hanoah from the Avodah Zarah. However, the Tosfos Rid disagrees with Rashi, and he says that specifically because the Mishnah doesn't use the words Davar Acher. Furthermore, how could Rabbi Gamliel be certain that the bathhouse came before the Avodah Zarah? Furthermore, he says, even if it did come before, the fact is that now it's part of the Avodah Zarah. All of these reasons should be reasons that it's Osir. And therefore, he explains that this is all one explanation. Number one, I didn't come in. I need like Bossi Begvula. He brought Begvuli. And even if you'll say he was here first, and therefore, and it was designated as an Avodah Zarah, still there's no problem, because the Merchatz is not a noy for Avodah Zarah. On the contrary, the Broiti is a noy for the Merchatz. Another reason why I may take a bath here, said Rav Gamliel. If they were to give you a lot of money, you wouldn't walk into your Avodah Zarah naked or balkeri and urinate in front of it. And here, the Avodah Zarah in Medes Alpi Abid stands by the gutter of the Avodah Zarah. Everybody urinates in front of it. The only time it's a problem of Avodah Zarah if it's treated with that respect. But if it's not treated as a god, mutter. And therefore here, because it was treated in this most disrespectful manner, there is no Isra Avodah Zarah. Interesting to note that Ramosha in a tshuva says that one is allowed to use a stamp that has on it an image of an Avodah Zarah, or even if one is a stamp collector or sells stamps, it's mutter, because as our Mishnah just taught us, says Ramosha, if you treat the Avodah Zarah in a disrespectful manner, and certainly taking an Avodah Zarah and just using it as a stamp is certainly considered being treated in a disrespectful manner, and therefore it's mutter. The Pasuk says regarding Moshe Rabbeinu's burial place, the Pasuk says the words that v'yikvurusoy v'gai mul beis pa'ar, and Rashi uses the words kevra hayimuchin sham. This place was made, was Moshe Rabbeinu's kever, m'sheshes yimei b'reishes l'chaper al-masapar. Why is Rashi saying, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to create, that did make, that this should be Moshe Rabbeinu's makom kfura from the creation of the world? Because if it would have just been designated later, it would be considered a makom avodah zarah. And certainly Moshe Rabbeinu cannot be buried in a makom avodah zarah. Therefore, the pasuk says, "Mucha misheshi mei breishis." Before it became a makom avodah zarah, it was already Moshe Rabbeinu's designated burial place, and therefore we have the heter aneiloi basi begvula hiba begvuli. Veichi aver hachi. Ask the Gemara, how could Rav Gamliel have said to him an answer in the bathhouse? You may think about the retire anywhere. You like to think about the retire anywhere. That he didn't say it in Lashon Kodesh. You're allowed to say secular things in Lashon Kodesh anywhere. And however, so why did he tell him in the Beis HaMerchatz? Tana kshiyotza. Only when they left the Beis HaMerchatz, Amalai, did Rav Gamliel tell him, "Emeshim v'merchatz." I'm not allowed to tell you the Torah in the merchatz. Machlokes Rishonim, what it does mean? Some Rishonim mean when they completely left the bathhouse. Others explain. Tosfos says that the bathhouse would have three rooms. There was the inner room where there was the actual bath. There one is not allowed to talk Torah or think Torah. There's the middle room where they get dressed and undressed, and there's the outer room. And it was in the middle room where even though one is not allowed to teach Torah, but to give a quick statement of Eim Hashivim B'merchatz is permissible. The Mefarshim discuss what is permitted and what is not permitted in the bathhouse or bathroom. Certainly thinking or learning Torah is usur. What should be thought about there? Some explain we could think about how frail a person is that he has to use the bathroom. Others explain that what you think about the bathroom is separating the bad from the good, which is actually what happens when one uses the bathroom. Others explain that one may think about Hashem, because since the halacha is we constantly shvisi Hashem lenegdi summit, we always have to think about Hashem, even though we're not allowed to think Torah in the bathhouse, in the bathroom, we're allowed to think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence. Amar of Chama bar Yosi b'Ribi Amar Rabbi Yishia Tshuva Ganuva Hashiva Rav Gamliel Oisa Hegman. Rav Gamliel tried to fool that Hegman. But I Rav Chama say Ena Ganuva. He gave a proper answer. And the Gemara gives a number of approaches how to understand the Shakl V'Tarya. My Ganuvusa to come aloy, because Rav Gamliel said to Percolus, Zua Medes al Pia Bib, it stands by the gutter, for call Adam Mashta Pinah, and everybody urinates in front of here. Says the Gemara v'chiyash, and therefore it's clearly not treated like an avodah zarah. Ask the Gemara, v'chimashta pinah mahavi, just because somebody urinates in front of it doesn't mean that it's not considered an avodah zarah. V'amar Rav par yachiyach, that what is the avodah zarah of par, shemafar l'fana b'chol yoyim, people would use the bathroom in front of Par every day. Rishonim explained they didn't actually use the bathroom, they just uncovered themselves. They in a bottle. And yet, that doesn't make it that it's not an avodah zarah. V'ni'ayma ain't a genuva. Why? Because indeed by Par, which avodas bekach, that's the way it's worshipped. So by acting that way in front of the Par, you didn't treat it this, it's not considered that you treated it disrespectfully. Zu, however, this avodah zarah ain't avodas bekach, and treating it this way is considered disrespectful, and therefore it's not considered a method of avodah zarah. Amar Abaye Ganuvas Mahacha. What his deception was as follows: the kamalei ani lebasi begvula fiba begvuli. I didn't come to it; it came here first. Ask them of a chibba begvuli my havi. Why does that make a difference? But tanan avodas chacham sheish lemerchat zegina avodas zar that has a bathhouse or a garden nanimem shloi betayva. We're going to learn the Mishnah. We could benefit without tayva. Machlokes v'shoinim. What a shloi betayva means? Does it mean without pay, or does it mean without showing any gratitude? Then nanimem betayva, but you can't have pay or show gratitude. And here, accordingly, that was wrong with Rav Gamliel's answer, that he seems to say that when the avodah zarah was before the bathhouse, you can't benefit from it even without gratitude, which is not true. Because Rav Gamliel, even if he doesn't show gratitude, even doesn't pay, the fact that he came is as if he shows gratitude because he was a great person. In other words, if the Avodah Zarah is there, if the bathhouse is there first, it's mutter. If it's there afterwards, it depends. B'toiva, it's asur. The definition of a toiv is either paying or showing gratitude. But Rav Gamliel, being such a great person, it's always considered a status of toiva. Rav Simcha Chiyam Gnos Mahocha. To come aloy, Zua Medes Al Bib, it stands by the gutter. V'kol Adam Mashtin V'fana, everybody urinates. Says the Gemara, V'chimishtan V'fana Mahavi. Why would that make it a problem? V'tanan Rok V'fana. If somebody spit in front of an Avodah Zarah, Hishtim V'fana, urinated, Gira dragged it, Zarek Basat Tsoyo threw Tsoy at it, Harena B'tayla, V'nei Oyma Ena Gnuva. Hosn L'fishatu L'rosachla. There it's, if a person just gets angry at the Avodah Zarah for a moment, that isn't considered that he was mevatel the Avodah Zarah. Because Hadam Afayisla, afterwards he'll calm down. Hacha, since Kol Shat V'Shat B'Zazula Kaima, it's always in this status, it's clearly not to be treated like an Avodah Zarah. Rav Bar Ula Amar, Gnvas Mahacha. The Kamalai Ein Oymen Nas Nachts Noyla B'Droiti. We do not say that the bathhouse is a noy for the B'Droiti. El Nas Avroidoiti Noyla Merchets. The Avroidoiti is a noy for the Merchets. And even if the merchets were a noy for the droiti, what would be the difference? He designates a house or a cup for vadizor like amaklum shein hegdish lavadizkachavim. So even if the droiti, even if the merchets was a noy for the vadizor, it wouldn't make a difference. Because nadi itzuri le mitzra, even if we'll say it won't be also for benefit, it clearly could become a noi. Right just here, the Avdroiti wasn't a noi for the bathhouse. The bathhouse wasn't a noi for the Avodah Zarah, rather it was just the opposite.